This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears fall to the Arizona Cardinals 29-9. They fall to 500 on the season. And some would say it hurt more than last week's loss. We'll get to that phone call in just a second. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys. Caleb Williams, 22 for 41 on the day for 217. No touchdowns, no interceptions. DeAndre Swift, 16 rushes for 51 yards, averaging 3.2. Bears at the bottom of the league in that. Romo Odunze leading all receivers, 5 catches, 104 yards on the day on 7 targets. Keenan Allen targeted 10 times, just 4 catches for 36. Had a costly drop in the fourth quarter. Not that it would have made much of a difference, but just a costly one. You know, that could have kept the drive going. DJ Moore targeted 9 times, 4 catches for 33 yards there. DeAndre Swift, 6 catches on 6 targets for 31. Roshan Johnson got 2 catches for 8 yards. Gerald Everett had that one grab. A name you didn't hear? Cole Kmet. Kind of frustrating for some people. But there's a lot of blame to go around on this one. Just the Bears seem unprepared. Caleb Williams talked about it in his postgame. He said, you know, he feels as though the loss lingered a bit too much. Bears couldn't turn the page, and I feel like he feels like it got the best of him. We'll hear from him in just a second, but I want to hear from you. Thoughts on the game? Thoughts on Coach Eberflus? Obviously, you saw a little bit more accountability from him. What do you think of his, you know what I really want to hear from you that you're listening right now? I would love for you to pick up the phone and tell me what you thought when you heard Coach Eberflus after the first half in that small little post first half interview. Can we pull that up, Tyler? I know we got that. Can you pull that up? The little blurb where Flus is talking to the guy and he says, all right, what'd you tell your team at halftime? He's like, well, I told him that's the score and we have us. So let's go get him. It's like, what in the world? I knew Dan Bernstein was going to eat him up. I went on Twitter. First thing that's out there, some from Dan Bernstein. But yeah, what did you think about Flus? I want to hear from that. I want to hear what you thought about the game. How frustrated were you? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Phil out in Mount Prospect. Phil, some people thought last week was the worst game they had ever experienced, but you think it's this one.
Well, I've talked about this before. The disturbing part really is that we've been behind in every game this year. We have started out behind in the first quarter. We have a total of 10 first quarter points out of the 8 games. And today it really cost us, as we were never able to catch up. If this continues, when the schedule gets tougher, when we start playing these division teams, and you can't keep falling 10 points behind in every game. We're taking the first quarter off every game. It can't continue. And I don't know why the slow starts. Unless we're just not prepared enough to get off to a good start. I don't know what it is with this team that we can't score in the first quarter.
Let me ask you this. What would you like to see more of, Phil? I mean, you're looking at it, right? You obviously see a deficiency there. So I don't want to say what do you think is the problem, right? But what would you personally like to see more of?
Well, establish the run early. That'll open up the pass more, take more pressure off our rookie quarterback. And I'd like to see us score on the first drive of the game and take the lead. That hasn't happened all year.
You know what I'd like to see, Phil? A big shot early on. I think that's what I feel like is missing, right? Like a big, and I know Caleb has missed, you know, a lot of his guys deep down the field this year, especially like on third down. But ultimately, taking that shot, you never know. You might draw a pass interference penalty. You know, that's why I think the run, like you mentioned, is so important, because you can throw in a play action pass early on, right? Draw the people off. And I think it's something that they struggle to do. And that's something that's frustrating for me when watching the games. Again, I just think because you're asking too much from Caleb Williams. And I know he's a rookie quarterback and he's great. Yes, we see the plays. We see the arm talent. But there's still something to be said when you ask too much of him, right? You want him to be the savior immediately as if he's some Hall of Fame quarterback right now. It's like, no, help him help himself. Easy passes, short completions, make him feel good about himself. Sometimes in basketball, they say, you know, you want to get an easy bucket first, right? Make the layup when you're warming up so you can see the ball go through the net. You need to see that before. Caleb needs to see some completions, right? So that he can understand early on, because clearly there's something there. Phil, I appreciate the call, man. Look forward to talking to you again next week. 312-644-6767. When I take notes, they're obsessive. And like the Bears today, first play of the game, I understand it was successful, but I hate not running on first down. I hate it. I don't care if they get 2 yards. Run on first down. That's just, again, you don't need to be, you're like, oh, well, I bet you they think we're going to run on first down, so we're not going to do it here. No. Put your chin strap on. Get your mouthpiece in. And go pick up your 2 yards. Make them pay. Second down, they pick up the first with DeAndre Swift. And then what do they do on the very next play? So now we're three plays in. What do? Empty backfield. I just don't understand it. You're making it harder for your rookie QB on the road. Your first drive, you did a great job stopping him on the first possession. Just makes no sense to me. Let's go back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom, listening on the Odyssey app out there in Arizona. All right, talk to me about this game. Big takeaways for you.
Well, the best part of the whole game was when the roof was open and it started hailing and had to shut the roof. And I hope everybody that came out to see the game expected these great. It was not a bad weekend, but when the hail came down, that was the highlight. But let me tell you something, Gabe. We moved out here. Our family moved out here in 1981. And we were always, you know, Bears territory, Wheaton, Elmhurst, Naperville. But just came out here. Our family went to the game today. There was 12 of us. Son, daughter, grandkids, brother. Everybody went. We were humiliated. There was 80% Bears fans. This is the biggest turnout of Bears fans I've ever seen. When the Bears come to Arizona, it's a home game for the Bears. And they let everybody down. You know, the worst part about it is when we're leaving, we're heading home in the car. We put this local radio station on first. And even the Bears or the Cardinals radio people were saying how bad Eberflus coached this game. In fact, leaving Caleb in and to get hurt at the end of the game, they said how foolish this was. This was the biggest embarrassing thing. And the Cardinals fans, all the maybe 10,000 of them, when there's 60,000 Bears fans, they just were gloating. It was a humiliation. It was horrible.
I bet. And there were a couple things there, Tom. I mean, one, you know, you saw Roman Dunsey made a big catch, and obviously you were at the game, so you couldn't see the broadcast. Yep. But Roman Dunsey makes this big catch, and then they pan out, and it shows the crowd, and it was literally 90%. I mean, maybe in that specific section, 90%. Blue and orange everywhere. It looked like the home game that you mentioned. I travel every year for a Bears game. My family, we go on a road trip. We looked at the Arizona Cardinals tickets. That was the highest priced road game the Bears had all season long. Oh. And out of any ticket, and obviously because a lot of Chicago transplants that are there. You mentioned the final 2 minutes and him still being there. And, you know, the local radio hosts pointing it out. Even Caleb said it in his post-game presser. I'll play it for you in a second. When they asked him, say, hey, did you know, why were you out there? He's like, hey, it wasn't my decision, but you got to fight to the end. It's like even he threw it out there that Tyson Bagent probably should have been there in that situation. When did it start going sour for you? Because for me, Tom, I mean, you were at the game, right? So I'm curious what that was like for the fans, because I heard they were booing at halftime in the stadium. I'm curious when that when the transformation started to begin, hey, things might not be going right in this game.
Well, you realize at the end of the first quarter again, what's going on? They can't move the ball. I mean, it's the same old thing over and over again. So damn frustrating. And, you know, you talk about the ticket prices. We bought them right at the day they went on sale. And we paid like, we were corner, 30 rows up. Real, not bad seats. We paid $500 for two, you know. My son bought them yesterday, and he bought four tickets, end zone seats, and he paid like $2,000 for
them. I told you.
You know.
It was crazy.
The thing that ticks you off is, first of all, Sunday ticket went through the roof this year. And then we all overpaid to see the Bears. And we said, look at all the money we threw away this year to see this lousy team.
You could have flew back to Chicago and had a whole weekend for all that money there, Tom. That's what could have happened. Hey, but we appreciate this. Go ahead.
Yeah, my daughter's, in fact, she's coming in and her husband are flying in Chicago to see the Patriots game. Next week at the Bears, they're going to go down to Notre Dame, see Florida State, because he went to Florida State.
Oh, nice.
Said, you sure you want to go? Yeah, Soldier Field, they're probably going to win.
Yeah, so, right, a home game.
Good work.
I appreciate it, Tom.
And love the Bears, for sure.
Thank you.
A lot of people out here, believe me.
Oh, yeah, Bear down, Tom. We appreciate you chiming in all the way from Arizona. Sun City West, Arizona. I got to shout out that. And shout out to everybody listening on the Odyssey app across the country, picking us up. Live and local here in Chicago, doing the Lord's work up overnight. But it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I kick things off from 12 to 5. Then the pregame show begins with Dustin Rhodes at 5 a.m., leading you right into Mullion Hall. They go from 5:30 to 10. Then 10 to 2, Bernstein and Harris. Then 2 to 7. 2 to 7? 2 to 6. My bad. Damn. 2 to 6, Spiegel and Holmes. And they got some good guests, man. Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Grody at 4, Jalen Johnson at 5. Make sure you're here with them. But I'm here right now taking your phone calls. Therapist Gabe is here for you. I have my notepad. I have my little wiry glasses. Contacts. Just go with it. And I'm ready to talk some Bears because I have thoughts too. I still have, you know, still have a bunch of notes on this game that I want to talk about. But before I go to Frank, play the clip that you got up there. This is Caleb Williams when asked about why he was in the game with the last 2 minutes.
Do you sense you're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yep.
Do you feel like maybe you shouldn't have been in the game at that point?
It's not my decision. You fight to the end of the game if you're in the game. If not, coach makes a decision like that. You know, you have to deal with it and you know, figure out, you know, the next steps. But, yeah, not my decision.
Not my decision. If coach says that's what, then you got to do it. Those are some. It's got to be frustrating.
That sounds like not fully trusting what your coach had for the game plan there at the very end.
I mean, let's be honest. When you're talking about Caleb Williams, he has been under Lincoln Riley for several years now. Lane Kiffin. I mean, these are names. It's not like he's some kid coming out of college that played for, you know, a couple of coaches nobody knows about. He understands what a good coach is. He understands what discipline is. Coming to the NFL, when you think things are supposed to be a certain way, I'm sure it's frustrating for Caleb Williams. I'm sure he thinks that more should be happening. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Frank. Frank, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Gabe, great show. Rest in peace, Les Grobstein.
Always.
You're doing a great job, and thanks for taking my call. So I've got a lot of points here. I'll try to be as succinct as possible.
No worries, I'm taking notes. I told you, therapist Gabe, I'm here on my notepad.
Yeah.
Have at it.
I appreciate it. Look, you've got haves and have-nots in the NFL. You've got serious organizations who go to the combine, go to the pro days, you go to the Senior Bowl. They're there to win championships, win Super Bowls. Part of that is hiring guys, alpha personalities, who might not be your best friend, might not be your next-door neighbor, but guess what? On Sunday, they're ready to go, they have their players ready, and then they win games. So even after a loss, when those guys like Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, Jim Harbaugh, when they are losing, it's not going to be a fun place to come to work on Monday. But the McCaskies don't tolerate that stuff. because they're allergic to alpha personalities. In fact, the last one that ever was an alpha personality happened to win the Super Bowl with the Bears. That was Mike Ditka, okay? The last person that they had employed as a head coach with any semblance of get up and go. Like, let's get going, guys. They're just an unserious franchise. I mean, you look at the last two off seasons. I knew the minute they hired Matt Eberflus, this guy's not serious. He's a good guy, but he's at best a defensive coordinator. And you look at what the Chargers do. They get out. They see what they had in Brandon Staley. They're going to say, I'm done with this. I'm getting a real coach, a real coach with a track record. That's the number one thing in the NFL. People don't see it. The owners, they get in a room. They talk about collaboration and this and that. They don't know what they're doing. The serious organizations know, I'm going to hire the guy that doesn't win me over on the interview. I'm going to hire the guy with the proven track record. Look at the guys that the Bears have passed over after Matt Nagy won the interview. Mark Trestman won the interview. Matt Eberflus won the interview. Who do they hire those guys at over? Jim Harbaugh, Bruce Arians. Mike Vrabel was available when Matt Nagy got hired. I mean, there's a laundry list here. And if you want to talk about, it's like Caleb's out there with 15 seconds left. He rolls his ankle. And Eberflus is out there saying, we got to get the timing right, whatever the hell that means. It doesn't mean anything, okay? They're putting him out there to fail, and they're saying we got to get him rolling. They're putting him in the same position that Ryan Poles put him in a year ago when he stood up on that podium at the post-mortem press conference, and he was asked point blank, did you talk to Jim Harbaugh? And you know what his response was, Gabe? Jim Harbaugh is the coach of Michigan. I didn't talk to him. Guess what? 3 days later, he was in L.A. He was the Chargers coach. That is malpractice. That is unserious organization. And guess what? Anybody who expects the Bears to do differently, they're fooling themselves. Get ready for the inexperienced, underqualified offensive coordinator who's going to get paid $5 million to be their coach, when in reality, they should be shopping in a completely different zip code because they have a Maserati sitting in their garage with Caleb Williams. He's ready to go, but they're never going to get the fuel to get him going because they're a loser, unserious franchise. And as long as the McCaskies are running shop, it's never going to change. And that's why you didn't see Harbaugh coming in this year. That's why you won't see Mike Vrabel in next year. Ben Johnson's going to command at least $12 million a year. You think McCaskies are forking that up? There's no chance. So it's like, you want to keep paying the bills. You want to keep attending the games. I have no fault to you. You can do that. I get it. I like going to the games myself, but guess what? I'm not going to expect anything different.
Just a cold beer in your hand. Frank, I understand that. Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously,
Yeah. You
bring some great points. My favorite is that you're hiring guys that are not your best friend. And that's what you need to be a successful franchise, right? The unserious franchise hires nice guys, right? Guys that are going to be compliant as opposed to, you know, have winning at the forefront of their mind. So what should Bears fans expect for the rest of the season then?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you should expect, what a serious franchise would do is, listen, we're going to play to our quarterback strengths. We're going to max protect because clearly their line is subpar. They didn't invest in the offensive line. It's like guys talk about all the time, right? It's like, what do you watch in January in the playoffs? What are all those teams have in common? Obviously, they're well run. They're well coached. They've got a competent enough quarterback, but it's like, look at the Lions. I mean, that team, that line, the offensive line, I mean, left to right, is top two in the league. And, you know, you compare it to the Eagles from a few years ago. The Eagles go to the Super Bowl, and those long, deep playoff runs, their offensive line is tremendous. So it's like, what should the Bears fans expect? More of the same, because that's what you're going to get. They're going to beat the Patriots. I mean, they will. And then it's going to be all hunky-dory, right? We're going to forget about this stuff for a week. And then they're going to lose really, you know, by quite a large margin to the divisional opponents. By the end of the year, they're going to fire the coach, I think. And then what you'll see is Clint Kubiak will roll in, Drew Pencil will roll in. You know, you'll get the Ben Johnson rumors. You'll say maybe they talk to Mike Vrabel, but they probably won't. And they'll just hire someone that's underqualified. In it, the collaboration word, you know, they walked in the room. We knew it was a good feeling of synergy. I mean, this is the stuff that real loser, unserious franchises do, okay? If I ran the team, Gabe, and you two, I would have looked at my ledger. I would have said, okay, who's available? Jim Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll. Those guys have all won a lot of games in the NFL. I'm going to say to myself, Justin Fields, if he's not getting it done, okay, I get it. We're going to move on. We're going to go with Caleb. Cheaper contract, bigger upside, bigger talent, bigger arm. How about the coach? Where is that discussion with the coach? We do it with the quarterback. Quarterback's not good enough. What about the coach? All I see is Green Bay winning games with Malik Willis. All I see is Kevin O'Connell being so with Sam Darnold. I mean, unbelievable year. So that's another thing, Gabe, right? When we're watching this, let's not have the fan base be focused on the poor quarterback. The guy is out there. He's pulling a left. You know, the guy's incredible. The guy's got the biggest
making
arm
some great
talent
throws
in the world.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so like let's not take our eye off the ball here. The organization's a joke. If they had the right people in place to run it, maybe, you know, you could see, like, think about what Sean McVay would do with Caleb. Think about what Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur. Like, I mean, this is a no-brainer here, right? So it's like we've got – I'm going to stop doing the right because I might sound like Eberflus in a second, okay? But if we just take a step back, let's think about, like, what are these big-time organizations doing with far lesser quarterbacks? They're pulling out wins left and right. So just to finish, because I know this is your radio show. I got to be honest here.
You're a fantastic caller. Yeah. I'm going to send it to Tanny later. Don't worry about it.
All right. I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, it's very simple.
Yeah.
If the right owner is there, they think about it like this. I'm not there to go on a Monday morning in my office and want to feel comfortable. I want to win games. Who is there to win me games? I want a general manager who obviously picks the right coach, but I want him to invest in the offensive and defensive line. So it's, I look at the Ravens, I look at the Chiefs, I look at the Steelers. You know, the people don't want to talk about the Steelers. Like, they're always relevant because they always are tough up front. I know they haven't won a playoff game in a long time, but they're always tough up front, and they're well coached, okay? But it's like the best teams are the ones that invest in the trenches, and they have the right leaders with their head coach. Obviously, you need great quarterback play, but that is where it starts, and the Bears are just so lackluster in every area. And the reality is, Gabe, you go to the combine, okay, and you see these organizations operate. It's a different ball game. It's a completely different ball game. And it's just, I was screaming from the mountaintops for 5 years when Matt Nagy, before he got hired, Jim Harbaugh is there. He wants to come back to the league, and nobody's given him a shot. Just like Mike Vrabel didn't get a shot this past year because there's garbage politics that exists in front offices.
And that's what's going to continue to happen, right? Yeah. That's what's going to continue to happen. Frank, I appreciate the call, man. Great stuff there. A lot of good points you made. And I think that one that stood out to me, well, first of all, don't let Drake May get busy next week. Drake May, so my biggest bet this weekend, I put it in my group chat. They always ask me on Sundays, what's your, you know, one pick, Gabe? Don't give me the 20 that you bet on. Just give me the one that you really think is going to hit. I said my lock of the day, NBA, Detroit Pistons beating the Brooklyn Nets. I said that on BetQL, Better Angle. That was my lock of the week. Detroit beating the Nets, and they did, handily, plus money.
Yeah.
It's a great win. But my NFL bet was Drake May longest rush over 10 yards. Drake May's a running quarterback. Drake May went healthy, and he wants to prove that he can still run despite the concussion. So I know he's going to do well. And I was watching that thing. Drake May's good.
Yeah.
If you listened to me last year, Tyler Ferengar was there. He heard me say, I didn't mind a Drakey.
That's where the discussion kicked up.
It started with you. But it'll be interesting to see. I know we're supposed to beat the Patriots next week. Sheesh. Not if that defense don't come back. Not if Montez Sweat is still hurt from that ankle injury. Not if Jaquan Brisker is dealing with concussion protocol. Not if Kyler Gordon is dealing with a hamstring issue. Not if Tyreek Stevenson is dealing with a calf and other things.
I'm not here to make any excuses for that performance because that was utterly atrocious. But
yeah.
Would it have been, I'll say, maybe a little bit better had Montez Sweat played?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Arizona still ran down their throats, like, tremendously.
Austin Booker was, I don't want to say he played bad because then that would be me trying to group all of his plays together.
Because he was kind of thrust into the action, like, We didn't even know Montez Sweat was inactive until like an hour before game time.
Yeah, they were saying that, you know, they tried to work, or Flew said they worked him out before the game and he just had too much pain. But Austin Booker is, listen, first of all, he's a rookie, right? He's known as a pass rusher, not a run stopper. You thought DeMarcus Robinson coming out from the very beginning, stopping the run, was going to be what, a preview of what you saw that or today or yesterday. But Booker was just in way too many times and getting just not making plays on the ball and constantly catching up to the plays. So Montez Sweat certainly would have made a difference there. And then let's not forget, when Montez Sweat is there, the reason why Javon Dexter and Billings are so successful is because the double team comes to Sweat. So they have, you know, man-to-man coverage. They're one-on-one on the interior. That doesn't happen when Montez Sweat is not there. They can then double Javon Dexter. That's why he didn't even hear about him. Can I take one more before we go to break? Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to my guy Q from the West Side. Q, good to talk to you, man. It's been a while. What do you think about this Bears team and their identity? I think it lacks. I talk about it often, but what do you think?
Well, I'm just calling in, guys. I've been evaluating Eberflus from the beginning, and he surprised me because I didn't think the defense was going to be good as they was. They made the trade for Montez Sweat, and they went through the contract dispute with Jalen Johnson, which is kind of like the last one left over from the previous regime. Evaluating Eberflus is looking at, you know, every head coach has a coordinator that generally is the fall guy. Now, Getsy was the fall guy last year. This new coordinator, Shane Waldron, is actually exposing Eberflus because Eberflus just pretty much let these guys come in and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
If I'm Eberflus, I'm going to tell these guys, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But if I'm Eberflus, I'm going to tell these guys, like the previous caller just said, hey, man, look at the identity of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, they dominate the time of possession and they make the other team one-dimensional. Which, if you do that, and you got an outstanding defense, if you look at this game here, this Cardinals game, they had a three and out so fast, the defense didn't even have enough time to get a cup of water. They was back on the field. You break down your defense, no matter how good they is, if they don't have time to recuperate. And that's the philosophy that pretty much he got the defense pretty much good, but he don't have no, as you say, no running game, running on first down, running on second down, running on third down, until you break the offense and you dominate the time of possession and you have a philosophy where you have a successful way of winning. Look at Pittsburgh right now. They dominate the football. They run the football. And when the other team get the ball back, they force to throw down the field. If they go up 7 points, it's over with. 7 to 10 points is over with. Matter of fact, they had games where they won with field goals, and they didn't even get a touchdown just because of the philosophy that they ran. I'm gonna let you speak, and we can have dialogue.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Q. I mean, there's so many issues with this team right now in the present, and the biggest one is themselves. They cannot get out of their own way, whether it's overthinking with the play calling, whether it's being overconfident on the football field, Tyreek Stevenson. There are issues here. But the number one is lack of identity. There is zero identity when it comes to this team. And the fact that we are 8 weeks in, 9 weeks in, because of the bye week, and still I can't tell you what a game plan should look like for the Chicago Bears. I know what I think it should look like. But trying to anticipate one is difficult. Somebody said it. Seems as though they regressed a bit after the bye week. What did you think about the game? Therapist Gabe is still here, ready to take your phone calls. I have my ink ballpoint ink pen. I got my notepad. And I'm a good listener. 312-644-6767. Bears fall to the Arizona Cardinals. 29-9. What did you think about the game? We'll take your calls next right here on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Did the Bears do anything good on Sunday? Cairo Santos, 3 for 3. Tyler Farrakosh.
No, you had. I actually texted my family group chat, Santos MVP, after the first half.
I picked him up in my fantasy league because I knew. I thought he'd get field goals for a different reason. I thought the Bears' offense would bounce back. He'd have a lot of possessions on that side of the 50-yard line, and I thought, he'd have 2 or 3 and then a couple of tutties. Like, I thought the Bears would put up some points.
I actually, not after the first half. After they went down 14-9, I said Santos MVP for the game. And then after, when DeMarcado ran for that touchdown, my instant reaction was like, you have got to be kidding me. And I said it in that kind of tone. I just knew from that point on, Gabe, another shocking, just shell shocking moment like that to end a half. It just felt like after that and the 3-and-out to start the second half that game was over.
I think to me where the game changed. And where I felt as though Bears had no chance was when the Bears couldn't put up a touchdown after the fumble recovery. Great play by Reddy Stewart, knocking the ball out of Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know what he was thinking. Inability to secure the ball. Bears get the ball back and go on a 6-play, 11-yard drive to get the field goal. It's embarrassing.
My dad always, growing up watching football, he's like, what's the thing that always determines the outcomes of games? And he's always told me it's turnovers. Well, the Bears, I believe, won the turnover battle today, 1-0, but got blown out.
Yeah.
So that just tells you right there, they were thoroughly outcoached, number one, and going off of that, thoroughly outplayed if you win the turnover battle and don't even stand a chance for the entire game.
And this is I've been talking about this all day, where there is no identity for this Bears team. I said Gannon obviously sees opportunities where the run game is working, so he leaned on it. 6, 7, 8 runs in a row. Bears get the ball back from that fumble. First play, finally, because I've asked for it, a run on first down. What's the result? DeAndre Swift, 9 yards. And what do I say? If it's working, continue doing it. What do the Bears do on second down, on 2nd and 1? Oh, DeAndre Swift, up the middle, 2-yard gain, getting the first down.
First down.
Feels good. Right there, for me personally, Gabe Ramirez, if I'm the offensive coordinator, I am either dialing up a run because clearly it's working, or here's my opportunity on the 37-yard line, play action pass, put it in the end zone. Put it in the end zone. Take your shot. Either punish them and make them pay by running the ball down their throat and making them understand that you are the team that is going to smack them in the mouth. All these pregame speeches you hear about or halftime speeches, that was the moment. Instead, incomplete pass to the right. 2nd down. Well, now Shane Waldron's scrambling because he's like, well, damn, I got to get some yards. Predictable down and distance. And especially when Arizona was blitzing a lot. No gain with a DeAndre Swift run. And then, of course, DJ Moore, incomplete pass, 3rd and 10. Cairo Santos kicks the field goal. It's just bad play calling. You can look at it right there. You can literally look at it. I told you guys, the first play action didn't come to the second quarter. Embarrassing. All right. 312-644-6767. I don't want to take up all this time talking about what I think went wrong with this game. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Therapist Gabe's in the building. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Let's go to Brandon on Morton Grove. Brandon, what could have made this game easier for the Chicago Bears?
Man, first of all, Gabe, thanks for taking my call, man. You're painting a great picture, man. I picture you in a dark, smoky room with that desktop light just on the notepad.
Yes,
good. Just
And how does that
get your thoughts?
Hey, Brandon, how did this game make you feel?
Oh, horrible, man. Horrible. I mean, honestly, I didn't even watch it. I was just listening to the radio, and then if the game was going to go good, then I would have put it on. But I didn't even watch it. Could you tell, were they even in man zone? Because isn't, like, the best way to beat a zone to run the ball? And then, you know, you can work the play action like you were saying off that. I just want to give you props too, man, because like you said, you know, run the ball, first down, second down, third down. At least Caleb's not getting sacked then too.
Yep.
You know, and then earlier this morning I was watching NFL Network and they were playing the Chiefs and the Bucks game. And, man, it was like one of the like greatest plays I've seen in a long time. It was just like a basic play action with the Gronk coming off the flat. And that could be Caleb and Kmet. And I just think that they should try and work like a little up, like to build creativity between themselves, maybe work some signaling. And just like, I mean, if they're going to let Caleb audible out of the plays, maybe just like try to build a rapport between them. Because all the great teams, they have like that tight end QB combo, you know, with KC and with the Patriots, Tom Brady, and even San Francisco sometimes with Kittle. So, I mean, and, you know, Waldron, he came up as a tight end coach with McVay, and you couldn't even tell, you know, if somebody told you that. Like, and it just makes him mad that they're leaving him out of the game plan, man.
Yeah, Brandon, I think it was interesting, right, because you look at the Cardinals on their first touchdown. What do they do? They get their one of their best offensive weapons, the ball. And if it's not via the pass, they take Trey McBride with a tight end around and get him the opportunity to get into the end zone. Not saying that that's something that's going to be successful for the Chicago Bears, but at some point, you know, we see it all the time, right? You just waste a play to just let Cole Kmet touch the ball. Whether that's an end around, whether it's quick the tight end screen, whether that's a little slant or, you know, a little hook route for Cole Kmet, something there. Like, the fact that he has zero targets, he is a weapon, right? Zero targets on the day is wild. Like, wild, you know, beyond wild.
When he was coach at Seattle, he had, you know, Fant and Everett, and they have, like, at least, like, 63 targets a
yes.
year.
Yes.
I don't know what his targets is at right now, but I'm telling you, he's probably not going to hit 63 going
there
the
should
way
never,
he's going right now.
Brandon, there should never be a game where Cole Kmet has zero targets, unless it's one where the Bears are up 50 and they just need to run the ball. There should never be a game where Cole Kmet is not a part of the game plan or used to be some weapon against an opposing team, especially the Arizona Cardinals, who have struggled against the tight end position. Like, it blows my mind. Let's have a real conversation, Brandon. Do you think, like, people are like, oh, well, Shane Rogers, you know, he's shaking on the sidelines, or is he, you know, the lights are too bright for him? Do you think that's what it is for him? Like, what do you think is his, because obviously he's had multiple offensive coordinator positions in the NFL, right? But yet somehow we feel as though he's falling short of his duties. What do you think it is with him specifically?
I think it's just amnesia, you know, he gets away from what's been working, and he wants to, like, be too cute. You know, I think, like what you said, you know, he's, like, he's got too many potions to work with and doesn't realize that he should just be basic with Caleb to start out with. And that's what's been, you know, when the Bears have been winning, it's been because the Bears have been basic, you know, run the ball and then work out play action.
Dude, what you're saying right there needs to be on the front page of newspapers, needs to be blasted, everything. Be basic. Because with this team and how talented they are at the skill positions, they will turn basic into something special. You saw DeAndre Swift get a pass for 4 yards, turn it into a first down. Like, these guys can do extraordinary things. But making Caleb Williams be the guy that is extraordinary only is what puts you in this position. Brandon, I appreciate the call, man. Make sure next week you call back, because I would love to chat with you again. Hopefully we're talking about a victory, though. But he said it, Shane Waldron, sometimes it's too cute. You have too much, and you feel like you're trying to do the most with it. Like, sometimes I love making French toast. Sometimes you just need vanilla extract, some cinnamon, and some sugar. Eja, that's it. You don't got to get fancy with all the extra stuff that you're trying to put on top of it. Y'all need the strawberries. You like strawberries on your French toast? You like fruit on your pancakes or French toast? I'm out on that.
Nah.
I don't like the compote. I don't like none
of that
stuff.
Just give me the syrup.
Exactly. Just give me my pancakes and my syrup. Keep it basic. And you know what? It'll taste delicious. You want to know why? Because there are good chefs over there. Because the ingredients, not chefs, the ingredients themselves are good.
If this counts too, maybe powdered sugar. That's the extent that I'll go
yes.
on top of it.
You know what? Powdered sugar. You know who's powdered sugar? Cole Komet. He's not the pancake. He's not the syrup. But you like yourself a little powdered sugar. And can the pancakes be good with just syrup and pancakes? Yeah. Are they better? With some powdered sugar? Yes.
100%.
Come on. Shout out to all my smokers out there that I just made hungry.
I like that. With that. Cole Komet is the powdered sugar.
Yeah.
I like that.
And that's not because he's white.
Well, I didn't think of that.
312. I did. 312-644-6767. I said it last week when Shane Waldron called the Doug Kramer run. I said he's doing it for the gram. He's doing it for the likes. He's not thinking about what is the best thing to do in this moment to win this game and grind it out. He is thinking, I bet you it'd look really cool if Caleb Williams went 30 for 35, 4 touchdowns, 1 to each one of my receivers, and DeAndre Swift had a tutty as well. He's doing it for the gram. You know who doesn't do it for the gram? Bill Belichick, when he runs the ball 40 times against the Buffalo Bills. Gannon, when he runs the ball 9 straight times against the Bears and says, oh, damn, well, I can't throw the ball because Tyreek Stevenson and Jalen Johnson are some monsters out here. Terrell Smith, backup wide receiver, is tipping balls on the first drive of the game. Well, let me not do that anymore.
Yeah, Terrell Smith was flying around those couple of drives.
Again, you understand what you cannot do. You see what you do well, and then you're like, oh, well, this is my adjustment. Seems like coaching 101, but for some reason, Bears struggle with that.
That's what I like to say a lot too, Gabe, is like your version of it is be smart, not sexy.
Yeah.
Being smart is always the better move.
Yeah. I'm both, but you know, not everybody can be.
When you're trying to win a football game, being smart is the better option.
Yeah. Sexy is just for once in a while in the game, you know? Like I told you on the second, like after the fumble, 2 runs, first down, now get sexy with it. You did it. You were basic. You guys got the ball back. You ran for the first time. Now take your opportunity to be sexy, but don't try to be sexy all game. Just find your opportunities. 312-644-6767. This game far from sexy, but we have opinions on what it should be. Let's go to Antonio on the South Side. Welcome to the show, Antonio.
What's going on, brothers? Good morning. Good morning. Why do you continue to keep calling Eberflus a coach when they all assistant coaches, including Eberflus? Okay.
And coordinators. And that's what I'm saying, right?
Coordinate. Did you say coins in the coins? And I gave a coin to Nate because they don't know a coin. Look, if toilet paper was wood, it'd be a bunch of all breaked up around there. Okay.
Why do you think it didn't get better from last year to this year? In terms of, and I'm talking about specifically Coach Eberflus, you know, you should be learning. You should be getting better every year. Like, why do you feel like he hasn't blossomed?
It's not about getting better every year. The family does not pay for anything, okay? Why would you want to turn around and put out a product when you know that their money comes from the city? It don't come from them. Okay, that's number one. Then number two, they don't have no pride. They don't have no kicking button taking names. You know, you have wonderful men, thoroughbreds that have came from championship teams and expect to be running with an organization, an NFL organization, as a championship player. And they don't get it. The next couple of games they lose, Eberflus is going to find himself not even being the coach because don't nobody want to play for him.
Do you think they'll fire him midseason? I mean, something the Bears haven't done. Do you think they'll do that with Flus if some losses pile up?
Because
Antonio, here's the better question, right? A lot of people are like, get him out of here, terrible Shane Waldron. Like, if they were to, obviously something they've never done, but go ahead and fire Buddy in the middle of the season, who's going to take over? Like, who are you going to get the keys to?
You know what? When they lost the game against Washington last Sunday, I already had his ticket because he wasn't flying back with me.
But who would okay, let's answer the question. Let's think a step further. If you take that away from Flus, who do you trust on this team to then take over and make a bigger difference.
Who would I trust? I even see Leslie Frazier playing with a...
Well, they're not going to bring in a coach mid-season, though, right? I'm talking about mid-season. I'm talking about like as an actual real conversation. If they are to get rid of Flus, who would they then allow to take over this team? Like, who do you think is in the coaching staff that's capable? And that's the problem that I think is in front of them.
You know what? That's the catch right there. You just said, who would they bring in? They will bring in somebody, but you know what? He would not be a coach. He would be an assistant coach. Retired, whatever, ain't playing college, somebody with a name. But it's not going to be a coach. Who was the last real coach they had? Honestly.
Yeah.
Was it Lovey? Was it Lovey? And it wasn't nobody since. Okay? The Bears are quarterback killers. Cole Kmet, I love Cole Kmet. The man didn't touch the ball. It was just like old news. For 4 years with Justin Fields, Cole Kmet was always on there trying to protect the quarterback, was never receiving the ball. And now he got two positions on the team. Okay, well, you know what? We're not going to turn around and give you the ball, but you know what? Why don't you go out there and hold the football so somebody can kick it?
Yeah.
And you can still get a check. That's sad.
It is sad. It's sad for all of us, and that's the reality of what's in front of us in the present. Antonio, thanks for the call. I appreciate you, man. I'll be on next couple of weeks in November, actually. So make sure this is the crew. We're the crew now. Therapist Gabe is here. Win or lose. Got a couple of funny texts coming in. Somebody says, what are you talking about, dude? They're definitely a serious organization. They made $1,000 for two seats, if that ain't serious. That's great. They sure did. If you want Poles to hire a better coach, then he'd have to hire his replacement as well. Oh, that one hurts. I've said this on a couple of my shows before. It says having Flus coach Caleb is like having Vinny Del Negro coach Derrick Rose. Now, I didn't connect it to the Derrick Rose thing, but I connected Vinny Del Negro to Flus in a sense where it's like, you're here to hold this down. You're not here to take the Bears to the promised land. That's the biggest difference. 312-644-6767. Text message come in. Somebody says, I don't think Cole Kmet would like to be described as powder, maybe adobo. I got a chance to hang out with Cole Kmet. You know, I'm the in-game host for the Chicago Fire. And Cole, we do this thing called sound the alarm, where you break a glass, you pull the fire alarm. Cole Kmet did it this year. Peanut Tillman did it this year. Some big names. Cole Kmet, no adobo. He just came from like a country bar. Then before that, he came from the Wrigley Field. Certainly that. Someone else texted and said, John Fox is a real coach, which I agree with. Some people would say that. All right, I want to take more phone calls. Therapist Gabe in the building. Want to hear from you. Ryan, Lee, we're going to get to you in a second. We got some phone lines open. With this game, I want to know what's the most frustrating part about it, right? Because it seems like it's not just the loss. Last week, the loss hurt. This week, seems like there's other things that are equally, if not more, frustrating. What is that for you? 312-644-6767. We're taking more phone calls. My couch is open. Therapist Gabe, the light is on. I want to talk to you. Let's do that next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.